Hello, this is Adam Virgo, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Anthony Kendrick, and as ever, I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And our guest for the show this week is Matt Hampshire.
Hi, good evening.
Are you well, Matt?
Yeah, really good, thanks.
I'll let Nick, I know Nick's got a few questions he wants to ask you, so I'll let Nick ask away.
Yeah, hi, mate. Yeah, I thought I'd start off with your sort of days I can sort of remember, because I remember seeing you play once before for Mansfield Town in the FA Cup against Brighton. And it was a time when Mansfield were really sort of struggling in their sort of in their career. I think they're bottom of League 2, and I think there was a lot of trouble with the owners, sort of thing. And obviously we've seen God knows how many clubs these days where you hear sort of fans protesting against the owners. I mean, Blackpool, Charlton, and Coventry are the three that spring to mind. So what's it like playing in that sort of environment?
Well, to be honest with you, as a player, you don't really think about it that much, as you can imagine, while the game's going on. It's more in and around training, when you're getting fans coming up to you, etc. It's not massively influential in games, but obviously there's always kind of that atmosphere around a club when you're going through that period of time. And it can be done both ways, to be honest. Sometimes as a player, you tend to shout about, but on the other side, you know, when it's not great, it can take the pressure off you as a player, and probably as bad as that sounds.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Just due to the fact that obviously the negativity is surrounded around the football, but more by what's going on off the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with Mansfield, I think he did actually get relegated that year. And it was sort of, but yeah, so you did have a good FA Cup run. Sort of when it's sort of you sort of struggling in the league, it can be sort of you see that quite often with some sort of clubs. You sort of struggle in the league, but then they get on the FA Cup run. What's sort of the difference of sort of teams getting up for the cup, and then why can't they sort of get up for the league games? If that makes sense.
I suppose if you got that right, you'd be earning a lot of money in management. I genuinely believe that it's probably because I think when you're involved in a league campaign, it's the same every week. When something different comes along as a cup competition or something different where there's not that same pressure on points, it's sometimes, we have a young team that season, I think it kind of releases the pressure. As probably as daft as that sounds, we're playing by far better team than we would have done in League 2. But yeah, obviously we beat Brighton. Well, we played Middlesbrough and we were in a game and John Stewart Darren on that team. The lads almost embraced it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was almost like the pressure of League 2 was at that point. I mean, you're looking at Jake Buxton went on and has obviously went to Derby, Wigan. Alex Baptiste was obviously still playing, but was playing Premier League. Charles Croker went to Sheffield Wednesday. Stephen Dawson the Balding brothers, obviously, myself in that team. We had quite, in terms of potential and ability, they were a good group of players, but probably just didn't come together at the right time in terms of our career. A lot of young players, a little bit of an experience. I'm a big believer that to become a professional footballer, you have to be talented anyway. I know people are up on about somebody's not good or whatever else, or he's had a rubbish game, but he's not there for any rubbish, he's there because he's done it consistently over his youth career, etc., and he's playing professional football. So it can become a little bit difficult at times. There's different things going off in different players' lives at that point in time.
Yes.
And that's just my belief in it. Find it, the chemistry doesn't work, and like I said, I'm currently coaching and I'm not looking to get in management, but that might be something that comes later down my career, and that's one thing that you certainly ask yourself on your experiences as a player, and what made you tick and what didn't type thing.
Yeah, sure. Moving away from answers, sort of rewind your career a bit. You start off your senior career at Sheffield Wednesday, if I'm right in saying. sort of, what was it like sort of coming through such a big club? And obviously, I know they're in the Championship and they've been out of the Premier League for a while, but they're still, we say on the show a lot, they're still one of the biggest clubs in the country, Sheffield Wednesday. Sort of what's it like sort of walking out of Hillsborough in your home games? It's just a huge amount of pressure every game. Sort of, what's it sort of like? Or what was it sort of, I should say?
It was absolutely brilliant. I mean, for a young player to go out and play in front of 25,000 to 30,000 every week is something that obviously you want from a young age. Again, some players around that time I come through couldn't handle that pressure like I've just been speaking about. Whereas I fully embraced it. I couldn't wait to get out there. It was almost like the more fans, the better. You know, the bigger the game, the more I wanted to play. And I know it sounds a little bit crazy, that's what I'm going to say, but some players, like, the pressure becomes too much, and they almost go into freeze a little bit, you know, which happens in life generally, but still in that environment. But in terms of me coming through as a young player, it was what I always wanted. I was lucky that at that point in time, we had some really top pros. I mean, Des Walker was still there, Vin Young was still there when I was there, the cameo were there when I was younger. Then you had like your Andy Booth, Peter Atherton, Richard Crest, Richie Humphries, who were younger players then and helped me come through. But you had a lot of experience and a lot of people giving you your advice, which were crucial in my development. But not only that, kind of pushed me on in training and games to kind of want that every week. It was difficult enough getting in the team. So once you were in, you wanted to stay in, and I think that almost helped me a lot.
Yeah, sure. I saw also you went to Stockport after Sheffield Wednesday. With Stockport, I mean, sort of, I know obviously you weren't young, been playing there since 2005-2006, but with Stockport it's a bit of a funny club. Sort of 1 minute they're sort of at the top end of League One, now they find themselves in sort of the in the conversation. I don't know, sort of, used to have any connection with Stockport, but sort of. Do you know any more what sort of happened there and how big the downfall was there?
I just think it's probably a club who... I think what happened to Stockport may well happen to a lot more clubs. Just due to the fact of Premier League money, etc. You're trying to compete at a certain level, and almost when you're on a little bad run. I mean, when I got to Stockport, I loved it. Chris Tennyson, now my old manager at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then Jim Gannon come, and when we had a big game, big crowds come. So it's always been a well-supported club. But I just think the area it's in, almost the relegations, listen, it never helps anybody. They had a couple of promotions after I left, and I was really pleased for them. But then it's almost like a snowball effect. And obviously, the less crowds you get in, the less money you've got, more of the guys to kind of set up finance, you get cheaper players, without being disrespectful to anybody, but budget, you can't extend your budget, you can't bring more players in. And then once you're in that, well, as you see, being with your assets and England, it's hard to turn that around once it's that wooden habit, even though the new players are something still around the club. And I think that's certainly the case for Stockport. I mean, I really hope that they come back up through the league, because I do believe they should be in Football League, but it's easily said then done. And you almost feel like I said, I don't want to keep harping on, but the Premier League money now is massive at the top. But these clubs who have always struggled lower down, and once you do go out of the league, I mean, the conference is ridiculously tough to get out of now. But
absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
It's treacherous, really. You've got to get 100 odd points to come back up in a league, and only one goes up automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my friends obviously were at Forest Green last year, and I what that was told, that they finished second by Country Mile and ended up not going up. And you just got to show how tough it is to get out of that league.
Yeah, we've mentioned the conference on here quite often. We did actually mention it with Forest Green a bit last year about how tough their conference is to get out of them. It is to say you just do not want to drop out of the Football League, because the conference these days is like an extra football, it's like another Football League, really, with the amount of full-time clubs in that league as well.
It's full-time clubs, but also the young players now, because there's that many young players in and around academy teams who don't make it at that level in Premier League, Championship.
Yeah.
they all flood out into their league. Because you see Rivadas, etc., and the list is on people who dropped into Conference and Conference North, even South, and come back through and play top level. It's not that they've not been good players, it's just that they've not really had that opportunity. I think that the Conference, it's Conference North, Conference South now, they're really good young players, and it's
Yeah, sure. No, I would say it's. I think the standing in the league has gone up a whack really since about 10 years ago. So obviously, we've already discussed Mansfield, but after you left Mansfield, went to Notts County. I think that was the year when Mansfield did actually get relegated. How did that sort of come about then? Because I mean, there was quite a few of you that left Mansfield, obviously. You, both the Boldins, and yeah, obviously the other players we mentioned earlier as well. Then it's not Mansfield. So how did that move sort of come about?
Basically, there were quite was interested in me, like you said, we had the FA Cup run. But I had Tommy Johnson, who was at Notts County at the time, who for a first team coach. I played with him at Sheffield, and he called me and just said, really like to get the guy on there, Kevin. And I just had to have it kind of delayed for a few weeks, but it would cost my young family and my wife, etc., etc. It just felt right when I went there. And I had a good first season. I got player of the season. And obviously, the second season, although I got promoted, but it was probably my favourite season, because I don't think I played near enough as I probably should have done. But in terms of a season that I'll probably never forget in my career, with Stengar and Ericsson, Thor, Griff, Sol Campbell, etc., it's probably the year that I'll never ever forget.
Yeah. Well, obviously, then I saw you at Macclesfield after Notts County. But then, after Macclesfield, you dropped to sort of Matlock Town. So, I see that quite a lot of players. Sort of, they were at a full time club, and then it sort of they seem to just go on the. We had Gary Alexander on last week, and we sort of asked him a similar question. We went from sort of Burton Albion to Greenwich Borough. How did that sort of happen with you then? When you sort of at the full time club of Macclesfield, and then to the. Presumably they are part time in Matlock Town. How do you sort of decide? Did you sort of the decision behind that?
Well, I'd left Macclesfield Town and I'd been on trial at Bradford and nothing kind of evolved from that. And you almost become in this state of, well, nobody's really picking the phone up. You can't, obviously, you've got a wife and kids, you've got mortgages, etc. And you need to earn some money, basically. I was still coaching at the time, which is what I'm doing now at Rotherham United, but obviously that were only part time, so I needed to bring some income in. So I ended up going down to an lady, and I'll be truthful with you, I didn't really enjoy it. I was lucky enough to play that you could settle some good players in Chilt League, and when I went to that level, it wasn't that I thought I was too good for it or anything like that. And kind of, you get caught in between a bit of a rock and a hard place because you want to keep playing. Everybody tells you you need to keep playing as long as you can. But when you're kind of not enjoying it, you should be enjoying it. And I'm a massive football fan. I watch every game that's on telly.
Yeah.
I'm an absolute sports addict. And to get that, you know, it just didn't feel right. When I went to Stocksbridge, where one of my friends were, and I played there just kind of really as a favour to him. He just said, oh, would you come and be great? So I went, I come in on Saturday night, and usually I'm in and I'm buzzing, and, you know, you've played a game of football, and I kind of didn't have that feel. It was a difficult stage for me, if I'm going to be honest with you. Plus, obviously, you want to keep playing as long as you can. And even now when I play five-a-side, etc., here and there, and really, really enjoy it. I've got that back, but at that point, I just don't know what happened. It didn't feel like it had done in all the other games that I played.
Yeah.
Training-wise in my career.
Yeah, no, that's interesting to know. So you get a lot of sort of different answers when you ask sort of players about that. Like with Gareth, yeah, I think it was he wants to retire from playing short football and went to Greenwich. But no, it's sort of interesting to hear about the sort of time to not sort of fall out with love of the game. Final question before we move on is away from that side of things. You're now coaching at Rotherham. How's that all going then for you?
Yeah, it's really, really good. I'm loving it, as I've just said about loving football. I mean, it's not great and seeing young players trying to come through and trying to kind of put them on straight, and there are things that probably you might have not done right or a little bit different. But I think you can give the information you give. I've always been passionate about coaching you from the England youth days, etc., when I had some really good coaches. We used to watch and study, and sad as it is, it always interests me. Not every player can probably say that, and I think a lot of players come out of the game and just go into coaching because they don't know anything else. But it was always one thing that kind of really intrigued me. I'd always ask my coach why he'd done that, or from a real young age. And I got into coaching at when I was about 26, 27, while I was still playing. Did my badges through to my A license, obviously, now. And then an opportunity came at Rotherham where I'd oversee the 12 to 16s, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And now I'm head of academy coaching where I kind of oversee the programme and take the 18s. So it's really, really enjoyable. It's really satisfying. And it's nice to kind of give something back, you know, as the game has been great for me. And now it's just been out some of the young players, obviously, you've got a job to do to try and get professional contracts through. Team, but if you can give a little back and can see players develop and kind of learn lessons that probably I did, and I'm passing that advice, and is really, really good.
Yeah, no, of course. Sam very very good at Rotherham, but with Rotherham obviously it's been a struggle in the Championship this year. Do you think they can stay up?
Yeah, I think they can stay up. I think that I've got the right in charge now. I'm sure we'll see. We have seen strides of improvement, and I'm sure that will continue. Obviously, it's difficult now because there's no transfer window or kind of go out and bring players in that up until January. So you're seeing it at the minute, really, a lot of new management make probably changes at this moment in time. Whereas I think all the previous managers have come in and got three or four, or even signed up one player, like different kind of the squads that they've got. And I do think it's probably caught a lot of clubs by surprise, this transfer. I don't think they're aware of it, but nobody really knew how it next season you probably with a big turn. The squad's probably been bigger. I know you might find that hard to believe, but I think that you need that squad, and if you don't have that squad, it can be difficult.
Yeah, sure. I think that's all the questions from me. I'll hand it back over to Anthony.
Yeah, I've just got a couple of questions I want to ask. What was it that made you pick Rotherham? Was there something that made you want to go to Rotherham as a club, or did you just sort of end up there?
No, obviously Rotherham's where I've been born and brought up, and kind of first few games of that took me to Rotherham United. So I've always had a fondness of Rotherham, and then kind of got into the coaching side too. Another one of my friends who said they were looking for coaches, he was part-time coaching there at Rotherham at that time, so I went down and just really, really enjoyed it. I've also had an interest in it. I had two cruciate knee ligament injuries, and my wife's a PT, so while I were off, I went in and coached some of their kids, etc., and just really, really enjoyed it. And obviously, it's a local club to me, and that's where I kind of come up through. I know Sam Shefflin, the bell was at Long. As a child, and kind of chose to go to Sheffield Wednesday at that point, just because of the size of the club. But Rotherham's been close to my heart, and kind of probably the first club about I followed as a young lad, and went down there and many a Saturdays and watched them as a young kid coming up. So obviously it's nice, as I said earlier, taking it back to the local area, but obviously it was club basketball as a young lad, so see the strides that the club's made obviously in recent years. I know it's tough at the minute at some of the Championship, but you'd much rather be bottom of the Championship than mid-table in League 2, which is where we were when I first came in. So again, the club of the stadium and the strides it's made has been fantastic.
I just want to pick up on something you said, Sheffield Wednesday with the size of the club. Is that when you're recruiting players, is that something that can be a problem with all the local, you know, the competition with local clubs?
For us, looking at local talent, yeah, it can be. Yeah, it can be difficult. But as you've seen now, in the news, etc. You've seen a lot of young players now moving on to the clubs. We've had a few lads who've moved on to Premier League clubs from our academy system, and it kind of goes under the radar. But that's happening more and more. So it's not only the local clubs that we're competing against, but you know, your bigger Premier League clubs now are the scout more or less at every other youth team game that you have, from 9s to 16s all the way up. And they're obviously striving to get the best local talent, English talent that they can. And they can't let these players kind of just go to other clubs and be huge successes. Everybody's kind of in and around for that player, which just makes your job difficult. But then I see that as success. If we get a kid in at 9 and he does move on to Premier League at whatever age, then we must be doing something right in terms of our infrastructure and coaching to kind of develop that player.
All right, well, thanks for joining us tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at B2Football. You can also follow our guest, Matt Hamshaw. It's at Hamshaw on Twitter. I'll put the links in the description. It's good night from me, and good night from my guest tonight, Matt and Nick. Good night.
Cheers, thanks. Good night.